Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're gradually making our way through the book of Luke. We're halfway through the last chapter now. We're going to study the road of the road to Emmaus and the resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ to some of his disciples. And we'll look at that wonderful passage today. And then after this one, there'll just be one more program and we'll be finished with the Gospel of Luke. And you can go to eternityradio.org and find out all our materials that are on there. Lots of radio programs for you to look at once this series on Luke winds up. And if you've got internet access, remember that, eternityradio.org, as well as all the other things that we do for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before we get into today's passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is wonderful, true, glorious, and good. And we ask now that you will open our spiritual eyes and open our spiritual ears to behold wonderful things out of your Bible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. It's a bit of a long read, but bear with me. It's a great story. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad, and then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Wow, the Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon and he appeared to those on the Emmaus Road. So here we find the evidence accumulates that Jesus is risen. He ate bread with them. He was there. He was physically present. He was able to be at a meal with them, and then he vanished from their sight. He was in a supernatural resurrected body. And we find that even the resurrected Jesus had reverence for the scriptures. He didn't prove his identity in some magical ways by making gold dust appear in the middle of the air or something like that. He said, look at what the scriptures say. And so with Moses and all the prophets, he went through and said, this is the thing of the Messiah. And he got them to rationally understand that Jesus had to suffer all these things and then enter into his glory. He gave them a rational, logical, scriptural basis for their faith. He didn't give them a basis of some wild experience. He didn't zap them with some pixie dust. He didn't make their heads spin. He didn't take them up into a cloud. He said, this is what the scriptures said. So he didn't base their faith on their own experience, their own thoughts, their own feelings, which can come and go and vanish, just like we have a dream and it impresses us, and then a few days later, we've forgotten it. Our own experiences can vanish from our mind and our heart, but the truth of the scriptures was the ground for faith, as well as them experiencing Jesus on the road to Emmaus, as well as them having him walking and talking with them and their hearts burning as he opened the scripture to them. So if you're a pastor, ground your people not in feelings, not in loud music, not in experiences of this or that, but in the scriptures. Teach your people the scriptures just as Jesus taught the scriptures to the people on the Emmaus Road. And then they will have a strong faith based on the word of God and not on their own inferences, on their own thoughts, in their own, am I in a happy mood today, so God's with me? Oh, I'm in a sad mood today, so God's left me. No, that's not the way of it. The scriptures say stay the same from day to day, from year to year, and from century to century, and from millennium to millennium. The scriptures stay the same as a solid foundation of our Christian faith. And Jesus revealed himself, but he revealed himself in the Bible. That's why I teach the Bible, and that's why I teach the Bible verse by verse, because it's a solid foundation for you to believe. So if you're a pastor, elder, teacher, Bible study leader, prophet, apostle, or whatever, don't ground people's faith on your ability to hear from God and give them a nice word from God. That's terrific if you can do that. Don't ground their faith on an experience of being healed, because lots of people are healed by all sorts of occult practitioners as well, and witchcraft people and diviners and people practicing juju. That doesn't mean they're from God. What you need to do is ground their faith on the Bible, on the scriptures, and make sure that they're digging into the Bible and both Old Testament and New. Jesus proved himself from the Old Testament. So let's go through the verses here. The very day, two of them were going to a village near Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So 7 miles, that's maybe 2 or 3 hours walk, depending on the terrain. 3 miles an hour is a normal walking pace. Some people back in those days, they walked faster, 4 miles an hour. So it's just a walk. Back then, people walked long distances very easily. So they're not riding a horse. They're not in a carriage. They're not rich people. They're just ordinary people going on a 7 mile walk home from Jerusalem. And they were talking about each other, about all these things that happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So he was just walking along the road with them. He comes up and he starts conversing with them. We find that Jesus is like this all the time. He's relational. He's walking beside them. And Jesus wants to walk beside you in your life. He's going to be beside you spiritually. Obviously, physically, he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But spiritually, Jesus wants to walk beside you in your journey of faith. This is a journey of faith as their eyes are open. Jesus wants to show you himself in the scriptures. He wants to show you who he is, what he does, and what he can do for you. And he wants to have fellowship with you. And he wants to bring you to a deeper faith than you've ever had before. So just imagine that Jesus is walking beside you, and you're talking to Jesus about the things that have happened in your day, in your life, in your family, in the circumstances. Obviously, you don't have the experience of just having watched Jesus be crucified. That happened 2,000 years ago. But you have things that have happened in your life that have shattered your life, that have made a difference. And Jesus wants to come beside you and talk to you about those things. And he wants to help you through them. He wants to get you on the other side. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. They were overwhelmed by the crucifixion of the Messiah. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew that he was going to be the one that was going to save them and redeem them. They had that much faith. So they felt that all their hopes had been crushed. And they just stood still. They were looking sad. Their whole being froze there. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him and said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" They thought he was a visitor, that he wasn't a local resident, that he was someone else just journeying along with them who'd been there for the Passover. Said, "How ignorant can you be that you don't know what's going on?" And of course, Jesus knew what's going on. He was the Lord. He was with them. And at this point, their eyes are closed to the real nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus can be walking beside you in your life, and you don't know he's there. You don't know he's there helping you. You don't know he's there guiding you. You just feel crushed by the various things that have happened to you. I've been a Christian a long time, and those crushing things have happened to me as well. But Jesus is still there. He's still with you, and he still wants to restore you to hope and to life and to faith in the resurrection and to the knowledge of God. And by the end of this journey, that had happened. He had taken them all the way from despair to blazing hope, to understanding that God had been with them all along and God's plans and purposes were being fulfilled. And one of the things we see in this Emmaus Road thing is Jesus saying, "Don't you understand that these were the plans and purposes of God and they've been fulfilled and I'm alive?" And sometimes the things that seem most desperate, most heartbreaking, most crushing are all parts of the plans and purposes of God in our life. And we have to trust the Lord and say, "Lord, please show me what's going on here," rather than stomping off and having a temper tantrum about the things that have happened. We have to be prepared to listen to God, to listen to Jesus, who's walking along beside us as he shows us the truth, that the plans and purposes of God are always fulfilled. Now, as we're in a particular time in history, in this year, 2024, a lot of things have happened in the last few years, from COVID to a war in Israel to this and that. And it seems like a dark storm is accumulating. It seems like things are going to go terribly, terribly wrong. And many people are worried about artificial intelligence or the economy or this or that. And they are justly worried. But we need to know that all of this is going to lead to the plans and purposes of God being fulfilled. And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels that said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." So here they recite all the things that had been happening, how he'd been crucified, how they went to the tomb, how the body was not there, how the woman had seen the angels and heard the report. And then some of us, that means Peter and John and others, went to the tomb to check it out. There was nothing there. And so we find that this whole thing is now a huge outburst from Cleopas telling Jesus what had happened and what had expected and how disappointed they were and how confused they were. And the light bulbs still hadn't gone off for Cleopas. He didn't understand what all this meant. He was, I think, half hopeful and half confused. And they were sad. They were depressed. They thought it was all over. He had been the one to redeem Israel. and they were pouring out their hearts to this stranger. And of course, the stranger was Jesus. He was kind, he was gracious, he was listening to them. He was asking the dumbest questions because he knew it. What things? You know, he's Jesus himself saying, what things? And they poured out their heart. He was helping them to come out of that place of despair by talking about it. And sometimes we have to sit down with our friends, and if you're a good pastor, sit down with people and say, what things, even if you know what the things are, even if you know what they're going to tell you, you listen to them and let them speak so that they can get to the point where they're ready to believe again, where they're ready to understand. And so here's Jesus. He's, I suppose, inside himself, he's almost laughing at them, but he's laughing in a kind way, in a good way, because he's listening to them. He knows their faith. He knows their concern. They're sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. They're walking back to Emmaus. And so this is what Jesus says. And he, Jesus, says to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus goes and shows them that he was risen from the dead. He didn't go and show them physically at this point. He showed them that the Messiah had to suffer these things, that this wasn't a defeat. It was all part of the plan, that the bad guys hadn't won after all. This was all part of God's plan. God was at work. God was still at work. And Jesus had risen from the dead, and they'd better believe it because the scriptures pointed to the resurrection. And, of course, Jesus himself used the burning bush illustration. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then they must be alive. And therefore, there's the resurrection of the dead. And then that goes on through Daniel and many other places to point, and Psalms to point to a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus showed them from the scriptures. And there's many, many prophecies in the Old Testament that point to the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as being fulfilled. And we know about Isaiah 53 and the last bit of that as well, pointing very clearly to a resurrected Lord and Savior. And still, there are people that look at those verses, look at the Old Testament and say, no, that cannot happen. I cannot believe in this, that, or the other. But Jesus himself gave them a Bible class as they're walking along the road. The hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever it took for them to 2.5 hours or whatever it took to walk along the road, Jesus was walking with them, showing them. And oh, what a time it would have been. Wouldn't you and I have loved to have been there with Jesus opening up the scriptures to us? And their hearts are burning within them at the time, and they're getting the Bible explained to them as they've never had it before. Why is Jesus doing this? Because these are going to be church leaders. These are going to be people who end up as the founders of the faith, the Christian faith. They've got to know backwards the scriptures about why Jesus was risen from the dead. He explains it to them. They're going to explain it to others and so on for generations to come. And that is an important testimony. We must know what the scriptures say about Jesus Christ. That's incredibly important. And we need to teach that in our churches. We need to teach that in our Bible colleges. We need to get away from self-centered stuff, which is, you know, where we're teaching people about how to be happy or how to have 7 steps to being joyful or whatever. We need to teach people what the Bible says about Jesus, because the Word says what the blood does. The Word says what Jesus has accomplished in and through himself. And our faith is not in 7 steps. It's not what we can do. It's not in our own works. It's not in this or that. It's in what Jesus has accomplished for us. And we need to know what Jesus has accomplished for us, how he has redeemed us, how he is the glorious one promised through the prophets, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and how even in Psalms, Jesus stands out as the sum of all scripture. And if you want to know what a Bible passage says, sit down and say, what does this Bible passage tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's always a good question. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, village of Emmaus, he acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. So this was Middle Eastern hospitality. Stay in the spare room, do this, be with us, eat with us, be part of our family. Don't keep walking. It's dark. You could be beaten up by robbers. You could end up like the traveler going from Jerusalem to Jericho. They didn't want that. They wanted to show this man of God hospitality. They hadn't recognized him as the Messiah yet. And so they are welcoming Jesus into their home, and you should welcome strangers into your home. You should welcome the prophets, apostles, pastors, and teachers into your home. If someone's got the word of God, if someone's showing you about Jesus, welcome them, because some, by that means, have helped angels unawares. That's, I think, in Hebrews chapter 13. We are to be constant in showing hospitality to people. And our home is to be open to those people that love the Lord. And we should have Bible studies in them. We should fellowship with people. We should welcome people to our dinner table. A dinner table shouldn't just be for us and our family. It should be for the saints of God as well. It should be for the poor and needy. It should be for the lame and the weak and the blind. Our dinner table should be open to those who need God. And in this case, it was open to someone they thought was a man of God who could put himself in danger by walking down the roads. And they said, "No, no, no, stay with us now." Now, I have a lot of Filipino friends, and they appreciate if I stay with them or stay over with them. The more time I can spend with them, the better. And that is part of their culture, and it was part of Jewish culture at this time too. So when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And as he did this, as he blessed the bread and broke it and gave it to them, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and that he vanished from their sight. So here's Jesus, and he's always doing this. He's always giving thanks for the food, breaking bread, giving it to them and blessing it. And they, as soon as he did that, they said, "That's Jesus. We know that. We've seen that before. We've been at lots and lots of meals with Jesus. That's Jesus." And suddenly they realized who had been walking with them. And they recognized him, and then he vanished from their sight. And that was, oh my goodness me, there was Jesus. We had Jesus with us all the time, and we did not know it. Finally, their spiritual eyes and ears were opened. They understood who they'd been talking to, and they just rejoiced. So at this point, they bolt straight out the door. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So they didn't hang around. This was good news. They had to share this good news, and they had to return to Jerusalem. Another 2 hours walk. Off they go. So they were trudging back up to Jerusalem. Let's just say it was nearly dark. It was 5 or so. They reached Jerusalem at 7:30, half puff, head to the disciples and tell them the good news. And so, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, "The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." So at that point, somewhere in an account we don't have recorded, Jesus had appeared to Simon, and unknown to the other disciples. He had appeared to Simon somewhere in the middle of the day. So in the morning, Simon Peter just saw the clothes. Somewhere in the middle of the day, Simon Peter actually encounters the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a private thing. It's not recorded anywhere in Scripture. Then comes back to the 11. The 11 and say, "Jesus is alive. He's appeared to Simon." And they said, "Well, he appeared to us too on the road to Emmaus." Everyone's got all the confirmation they need at this point. And they're all agog. They're all saying, "This is amazing. Jesus has risen from the dead." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he's known to them and the breaking of the bread. And they're all saying, "Jesus is alive. This is a great moment. This is a moment of celebration." And in the next and last broadcast in this series, where we'll see that Jesus appears to them at the ascension, and he rises into heaven and so on and so forth and sends them into all the world. So here we find the proof of Jesus, the proof of Jesus appearing to Simon, the proof of Jesus in the scripture, the proof of Jesus appearing in breaking of the bread. He is the bread of life. He is your life. He is my life. He is alive. He is risen from the dead, and he is very much the bread of our life, the staff of our life. He is the substance of your spiritual life and mine. So go into the Word of God, go to prayer, and go to Jesus personally. He wants to walk beside you in life. He wants to carry you through life. He does not want your faith to be based on mere experiences. He doesn't want your faith to be based on the ups and downs of your existence. He wants your faith to be based on a personal experience of him, backed up by the scriptures. And you should study the Bible. You should say, what does the Bible say about Jesus? That should be a constant question for you. And you should know the Old Testament and you should know the New Testament, what Moses and the prophets and the Psalms have to say, as well as what the New Testament teaches us. See, your faith needs to be in Jesus, not in your church, not in your denomination, not in the feelings you get from music, which come and go. Music's great. We do need worship music. But your faith isn't based on how you feel at church. Your faith is based on the Bible, which is thousands of years old, full of truth. And Jesus wants you to know him through the Bible, to know him personally, through having your spiritual eyes and ears open, to know him through the history of the resurrection of the dead and the growth of his church. He wants you to have a solid and sound faith in him. Jesus will meet you on the road of your life. Jesus will encourage you. Jesus will strengthen you. Jesus will make you into a child of God, a man of God or a woman of God. If you don't yet believe, just pray this following prayer with me. Just pray this prayer as I pray it out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, risen Son of God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins, make me into a Christian, and fill me with the Holy Spirit. The prayer again. Lord Jesus Christ, risen Son of God, have mercy on me, forgive my sins, make me into a Christian, and fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.